I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 4th, 2025, one of the dumbest days in Canadian history. Doug Ford is out front for Team Canada, flapping his gums, newly elected and minted into another four-year term where you are going to suffer in Ontario like you've never suffered before, and he's going to do it under the banner of protecting Ontario. Orwellian doublespeak, you've never heard it as much. I want to remind everybody that Premier Ford is asking retailers to put a Canadian sticker on prices in stores before legislating it as a requirement. So get busy, because there's a law going to come down where you have to identify every single Canadian product or you'll be in violation. It will be illegal for you to not do so. Ford says the U.S. will feel the pain of Ontario consumers buying less American goods. Doug Ford will never miss a paycheck. His rent will never be late. He will never be homeless, and he will not feel the consequences of any of his actions. Now, keep in mind, all of what he's saying and all the rhetoric up to today was before the Americans did anything. Trump called us out for being a criminal nation, for being a corrupt nation. We are. I've proven it. Go look at the I'll edit it in post. The video thumbnails that you need to look for on my YouTube page so that you can understand how bad things have gotten in Canada and understand that I provide the receipts. I'm not just saying these things. These are realities. Before any tariffs came down, this is a list of the tariffs that we charge the Americans already. Canada charges them. And this is all well and good. But the second Donald Trump decides to charge back, it's this huge issue. Here's a list of all the taxes that we have. When Donald Trump goes before Congress today and he gives a speech, I think he's going to announce some really interesting tax policy. But I honestly hope he just tells the truth about Canada and what has happened up here. Because Canadians need the truth. And you might not believe it from Donald Trump. You might not believe it from me. There's going to be people in this country who will never believe what we've actually become in this country. These people who stand up there and pretend that they are standing on guard for Canada have sold us out. Let's listen to Doug talk, actually. Let's get right to that.
Are people nervous? Yeah, they're nervous because of President Trump. We have to make sure. You have two choices here, folks. We roll over as a country and just let them run over us, or we fight like hell, like we've never fought before. I'm taking option two.
He's right. We have never fought like hell for this country because guys like Doug and guys like Justin Trudeau and previous conservative governments have gutted your country. They have left your guard down. They've destroyed your army. They've sold off your resource sector. They've gutted manufacturing. We used to make things in Canada. We don't make things anymore. We don't do a lot of innovative research. We are a resource colony. These guys stood down and they allowed it to happen. And now they want to pretend that they're the champions. They're the ones that busted up the convoy in Ottawa. They stomped the Canadian flag into the snow, as I've said before. And now they want to wrap themselves in it.
Fighting like hell, and we're going to protect Canada. He's underestimating the Canadian people, the resilience of the Canadian people, and the strength of the Canadian people.
I want you to understand, when he talks about resilience and strength, he's talking about your capacity to suffer. Read it the right way.
I said, number one, I don't start a tariff war, but we're going to win this tariff war. Right off the hop.
They clap like seals for this guy.
I've directed the LCBO, we're the largest purchaser of alcohol in the world, to remove every bit of U.S. alcohol off the shelves.
Ooh, we're going to have Made in Canada stickers and we're going to remove American booze, most of it that we've already purchased. That's going to really show them. But what's far more damaging and should be of concern to everybody is he says further in this interview that he will cut off energy supplies to the United States and do it with a smile on his face. Is that proportional? Is that a proportional response? Considering, as I want you to, we charge them tariffs. So Trump is charging tariffs to us. He's charging our businesses money to do business in the United States. He's not increasing the price of your groceries. He's not assaulting your pocketbook. It is Team Canada's response, which will cause you pain. They're going to blame Trump, but it's actually them, these people, Doug Ford, Justin Trudeau, Pierre Poilievre, Carney, all of them, Jagmeet Singh. They're going to make you suffer, and they're going to blame Trump for it. And a lot of you are going to buy it, but a lot of you are smarter than that. The fact of the matter is it a proportional response to Americans charging us tariffs in light of the fact that we charge them tariffs already? Is it a proportional response to threaten to cut off energy and leave millions of people in the dark? Is that proportional? And I've warned you in previous videos about executive orders. I've warned you about clauses in our trade agreements with the United States. I've warned you about a lot of things. What constitutes an act of war? Cutting off energy supplies, whether it's electricity or oil or minerals. Is it proportional to a tariff to absolutely undermine and assault the security of America? What are we doing here? What's going on here seems very clear to me. Donald Trump won an election he wasn't supposed to win. He survived assassination attempts, which he wasn't supposed to survive. Now that he is fully ensconced in power and he is purging out the bad actors in the U.S. government, you see it every day. Thousands of people fired and removed and DOGE going around and uncovering the waste, fraud, and abuse. We should be celebrating this, but instead we're not even hearing about it. Our media is curated. I'm going to show you an example of that. Even the alternative media, even on YouTube, everything is curated. We are being mobilized as a nation, as a front line for the World Economic Forum and the United Nations agenda to sacrifice you, the Canadian citizen, in a war against the United States to try and undermine them for the next 4 years. And we shouldn't fall for it. Millions of us are, millions of us aren't, but we shouldn't fall for it because it's we the people who are going to pay a price, and we should be looking for a better deal for ourselves. Think about what Doug Ford and Team Canada is threatening to do with a smile. In response to tariffs, something we charge America already, they would cut off energy supplies, leaving millions of Americans cold in the dark. It's inhumane and it verges on an act of war. Is that who we are? Trump is charging a tax on some of our businesses. Our response is to annihilate your purchasing power. Our response is to potentially cut them off and leave millions of Americans in suffering. To a tax. Taxes we charge them to do business here, to keep their businesses out of Canada. Trump talks about how banks can't do business here in Canada. It's technically not true because they do limited business here, but they're not allowed to just open up and come in here and compete on an even and level playing field, which is what people should importantly understand. Canada has all kinds of rules. We're a very protectionist country when it comes to the Americans. Now, you can agree with that or you can disagree with that, but when America decides to apply an ounce of protectionism to their trade policy, we respond by wanting to leave millions of them in suffering? Are we nuts? Are we nuts? What happens when Canada, undermined as it is by Chinese triads, Mexican cartels, and terrorist financing by the likes of Hamas and Hezbollah, decides to target the U.S. economy by cutting off energy exports? First off, Canada starves. But secondly, what do we become in America's eyes? An enemy state harboring terrorists. Look, I've shown you public available government documents, not some quacko conspiracy stuff that you've read off Reddit. Not even Reddit. Reddit is too heavily censored for crack. 4chan. It's not 4chan stuff. I've shown you how Canada is a money laundering capital, how we're a criminal capital, how we export drugs to the world. The RCMP recognizes this. CSIS recognizes this. The government itself recognizes this. Mainstream news articles, all of the receipts that I provide, I pick from the mainstream so that they can be digested by people if they just choose to listen. What happens to us, in light of all this knowledge, if Trump just tells the story about Canada as it actually is, what do we become in their eyes? We become an enemy state, committing acts of war against them. Over what? A 25% tariff. It's not proportional. Wake up, Canada. It's not proportional. The average Canadian doesn't fully comprehend the times we are living in and their opportunity. We all share a river. And we are coming to a section of rapids. We control our boat's location in the river and what section of the rapids we navigate, but they are coming all the same. There's big changes afoot in the world. The globalists are on the run. The World Economic Forum is on the run. You should be celebrating that. The oligarchs are very unhappy with what is happening in the United States. And you might say, well, Trump represents a class of oligarchs too. True. Maybe all we get is to pick the class of oligarch. But in America, the citizens have rights that descend from God, not the state. And they elect far more representation than we could ever dream of here in Canada, where we have a crown, where we have a king. It's so backwards. it almost takes the words right out of my mouth. Critical Thinker says, are people this obtuse? Team Canada manufactured hate during COVID-19 and y'all fell for it. Now they are changing the target like lemmings off the cliff you go. The sentiment down here is confusion. Why the hate? We've always loved our neighbors. Careful what seeds you sow. Critical is a Canadian living in America, trying to become an American citizen. The Americans don't hate us. It's a myth. They don't understand why Canada's gone off the deep end. We're like psychopaths up here. Our response is not proportional, and they can see that. Jagmeet Singh, this morning, Canadians have woken up to an unprecedented trade war waged on us by a hostile president. Now, it shouldn't be any surprise that Jagmeet, every time he opens his mouth, is a lie. He's been lying to the Canadian public now, propping up the Liberals while pretending to oppose them, drawing red lines all over the place and letting the Liberals ride roughshod over them, and now his party's in the tank so bad he probably won't get a seat in the House. It's not unprecedented. A tariff is not a big deal. The stuff that Team Canada wants to do in return, that's the big deal. The 25% from the Americans is really not that much. It's not a big deal. To cut off energy supplies and threaten war? What are we doing? In this moment, we must be united to protect Canadian workers and jobs. New Democrats are calling for an emergency recall of Parliament. I don't believe for a moment that Jagmeet Singh is going to pull this government down and trigger an election. I don't think Polyev gets an election. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd be happy to be wrong in certain ways. In other ways, I wouldn't be, because what is Polyev doing except calling for the same trade war, calling for unlimited funding of Ukraine and constant war, the war drums beating for World War III? Well, the only person on the planet serious about stopping the killing and making a peaceful, more prosperous 21st century for all is the Trump administration. We've got it all backwards up here. Brittany says, your fault for not calling an election. Brittany's right. At any point, Jagmeet Singh could have called an election. We could have a different government now and we'd have a different tune. And in some ways, I don't know if that would be better, because the status quo would continue. We wouldn't be addressing the concerns of the Federation, because we'd have a blue government. And that blue government still wants a trade war. That blue government still wants World War III in Ukraine. I don't know if that does us any good. But I think they're afraid that Polyev is lying. I think the establishment is afraid that Polyev is lying. I don't think he is. I think he means what he says about Ukraine and about the trade war. They think he's going to flip his script as soon as he gets in power, and they don't want to cede that power. They want to be the ones responsible for it. We're in trouble, folks. The mental state of Canada is broken. Scott Moe says, this is why being in the United States to tell the Saskatchewan story is important. We need free and fair trade that benefits farmers, businesses, and everyone on both sides of the border. And I said to Scott, we need a better nation for Saskatchewan. When do we stop existing in a constant war with Ottawa and embrace the geopolitical realities of our province? What are those geopolitical realities? We do our business north-south. We don't do business east. We send some business west, but we don't send a lot of business east. There is one road link and one rail link holding this whole country together. And for 150 years, Ottawa has opposed the power, the representation, and a fair deal for Western Canada. And now we are on the verge of Ottawa ordering the taps to be shut off and exports to stop. And at that point, Moe, Smith, and to a lesser extent, Rustad are going to have to make a choice on where they stand. And I think it's time for you to make a bold choice. Put the people of the provinces that elected you first. You are not Team Canada. Your Team Saskatchewan, your Team Alberta, your Team BC represent Western Canada, not Eastern Canada. They've been holding us down. The Americans have been better friends this entire time. Or I guess if you so choose, you can continue following along with these delusional people. British nuclear weapons can protect Canada against Trump. Liberal Party leader Chrystia Freeland, running to replace leftist Justin Trudeau, has said. So Freeland says that after all of these years of American protection, taking care of Canadian interests while we got our army to fund gay monuments in Ottawa, now we're just going to look to the King and the British Isles to protect us because we can't take care of ourselves. These people are nuts. They don't deserve our loyalty. They don't deserve our respect. None of them are going to miss a meal. They're going to make you hurt, and they're going to give themselves raises. Donald Trump doesn't take a dime in wages. But during the COVID pandemic, every single member of Parliament kept taking their wage increases, and they still take wage increases while they are planning your suffering. That's what's happening. Chip Marsh says, it's a uniparty. In the end, their foreign policy is irrelevant. None of them, none have any plan to deal with what I call the basic problem. Canada is a very large, thinly populated country. It doesn't have the population to defend that territory, nor does it have the national pride anymore. That's why nobody wants to join the army, because it's too gay. It's too DEI. We're focused on the wrong thing. We are a captured nation. We're a resource colony. I can't fit all of it. All the things wrong in one video. I can't fit it in one document. There's literally too much. That's why I have a library of videos that are valid every single day. They're timeless because there's so much material. It can only exist in the shadow of a larger power. Canada was created under the shadow of the British Empire. That is now defunct. Defense has shifted to the U.S. The U.S. has its own problems and is no longer willing to perform that role for free. Canadian politicians have gotten very comfortable getting their welfare state indirectly subsidized by the United States. They don't like being taken off the teat. They can run around and squawk about Team Canada and our sovereignty all they want. It doesn't change the basic facts. Formal partnership with the U.S. is coming in some form. It's just a question of timing and whether Canada further bankrupts itself. In the meantime, Canada bankrupting itself, meaning bankrupting you, the citizen. You, the citizen, how much suffering can you tolerate so that these people can keep collecting checks, so that the welfare state can keep ticking on? When this person talks about the fact that the Americans are indirectly subsidizing us, they're talking about the trade imbalance, yes, but they're also talking about the presence of the United States in proximity to us and their strength in military, allowing us to deprioritize our own national defense. That's why every liberal government has crushed our infrastructure. They don't want us to be a resilient country. They're happy to sell us out. That's why Team Canada has been gutting us and selling us out this entire time. It boggles my mind. This is history. This isn't some conspiracy theory. I'm not just some raving lunatic. I am trying to tell you the truth with a bit of passion. Because if you don't wake up, it's only your own suffering. This is just people are live action role playing military plans. We don't even really need a military plan. We don't have a military to defend the country, so I don't think I need to really go over that. This is where critical thinker, he actually notes that Trump doesn't take a wage, but all the other people do. Randy Hillier says, the boys will be getting stinko. Ford Nation has threatened to stop all nickel exports to the United States today. Val Inco has also just announced they will suspend their furnace upgrade in Sudbury until 2028, same year as the next U.S. election. Watch as Canada's largest nickel mine gets shuttered. So they had plans to spend a lot of capital upgrading this facility, and they've now put it off for 4 years. With Ford threatening to cut off nickel exports, you need to understand, that's not defending Canadian jobs. That is destroying Canadian jobs. So he campaigned in Ontario about protecting you. You're going to be destroyed by this. And then they're going to offer you a universal basic income program, same type of scale that they did during the pandemic. It's going to inflate our dollars. It's going to keep driving the rapid rise in real estate prices and asset prices and the price of the basics that you buy. They won't be able to print fast enough. The dollar's going to tank. We're facing hyperinflation with these guys, and they're doing it under the banner of protecting Canadians. Hillier's on the money. And in Ontario, 120,000 people decided to back New Blue or the Ontario Party. I don't know why Ontario needs two parties. Hillier wanted a conversation with me before the election. I didn't want to get involved. I don't have skin in the game. I don't live there anymore. I didn't want to put my finger on the scales. I'd be happy to talk to Randy now. But those 120,000 people, you did the right thing. You had a little bit of vision. Arguably, the next set of people who did the right thing were the 50-odd percent who stayed home because it's a broken process. And I think suffering is the only thing that's going to wake people up. Bill Tuff says, wild. Trudeau could have kept quiet, but no, he decides to pee all over Trump's shoes on the eve of Trump introducing tariffs. So, again, the tariffs are a tax. That's all they are. Trump is trying to end the war in Ukraine. Canada is committing billions and more aid to Ukraine. We're gutting our military even further. We're talking about boots on the ground in Ukraine. We can't put boots on the ground here in Canada to protect our country, but we're going to keep shipping it all overseas. Why aren't people angry? Why aren't your influencers furious? Why aren't they blaring this from the rooftops? For the record, Tom Quiggin says, Ontario Premier Ford is threatening to inflict pain on America for tariffs. Ontario is about $429 billion in debt. Ford in 2018 talked about the debt issue, and he had to cure the deficit problem. All talk of that has completely disappeared since he came into power, and he has tacked on a ton of debt, and he's going to keep going. By comparison, even the poorly run state of California is only $150 to $160 billion USD in debt, or about $230 billion Canadian. And California has a much higher population. Ontario's finances are in the pit. We don't have leverage. We don't have power. When Ford talks tough, he's talking tough at your expense. There's an election afoot, Brian McKinnon says. No, there's not. Pierre trying to cater to the, and this is an argument I keep hearing from conservatives, and I've heard it from the last two leaders, is that they have to campaign to the left to keep the center together, and that's the only way to win elections. Well, you fools, you keep losing elections. And Pierre's support is tanking. There's enough frustration in this country that I don't think it's enough to defeat him, but he's not going to get an election. If it looks like he's going to win, I don't think the powers that be will give him an election, because there's no legal requirement right now to trigger an election. In an emergency, which they're building up the narrative that we are in an emergency with the United States, it gives Singh the perfect excuse to back the government. For that matter, it gives the Bloc Québécois a perfect excuse to back the government. I don't think we see an election. I could be wrong, because in the end, if we get an election, Poilievre wins. If he wins, another worst case scenario would be a minority government. Think of the optics of that. Think of the optics of these guys talking about how we're going to war with the United States, how this is the biggest deal to ever face Canada, and they would, first off, prorogue government and leave us without leadership, and then second, trigger an election in the middle of the crisis. Maybe we will get an election, because the optics of it would be terrible, and that seems to be what we do. Mark Carney says these tariffs are an unjustified direct attack on Canadian workers, families, and businesses. Canada should retaliate with dollar-to-dollar tariffs that will have maximum impact on the U.S. and minimum impact on Canada. It's just lies, man. When they slap tariffs on your food, your imports, what do you think happens? It's an attack on you. Trump's not doing that. They're doing that. They're lying. They're just lying. They got it all spun backwards. Turbo Serbo says, listening to the radio in the car, going shopping, and I hear that they're going to tariff fruits and vegetables coming into Canada. Just proving my point. That's Team Canada, not Donald Trump. Oh, Peter Menzies bought right into the whole narrative, except our neighbor is not our friend. I said, they are our best and most reliable geopolitical strategic partner, and it is ignorant to think otherwise. I don't know how people can lack for so much vision. Fortress North America is a great idea. Do you want to prosper? Do you want to be free? Do you want to live in a war-free world for maybe the next 100 years? Do you want your kids to grow up, live, and die in a stable, protective nation or continent? You should be embracing continentalism, because it's better than the trajectory that you're on right now. Canada's in the tank under the leadership of these people. We're going to need something new and visionary, because they're promising you. Carney's been campaigning on it. They're talking about right now. You're suffering. How you're going to have to tighten your belt, how you're going to have to be resilient and strong. That means you get to suffer. That's their promise. The promise of continentalism, the promise of Fortress North America, is the exact opposite. I don't know how people can't see it. A man in Quebec is selling his two Teslas and canceled his order for a Cybertruck. The reason? He refuses to support Elon Musk. CPP Investments bought 147,000 Tesla shares in the fourth quarter of 2024 to lift its investment to 525,000 shares. Boycotting Tesla hurts Canadian retirement funds, not Musk. And this is the problem with virtue signaling. Canadians are busy fiddling with the ketchup and putting Made in Canada stickers on things. Meanwhile, your pension funds understand where the money is. So you are undermining your own interests with your virtue signaling. There's no way we win here. We can't come out on top in this battle. Your mainstream media in Canada is completely captured. It's funded directly by the state. Again, not a conspiracy, it's a fact. And you can see it in the YouTube comments section on their videos. I remember back in the day when they actually used to show the ratio of thumbs up to thumbs down, and mainstream media articles got absolutely annihilated. Every single comment all the way down is pro-trade war, pro-Team Canada. They curate out of existence all opposition speech. CBC News used to have a comment section with a vibrant conversation. It was dominated by lefties. And they took it away anyway because there was still too much truth being said. They hide the user comments. They delete the user comments. They completely censor them out of existence. And just so you understand, this person says, an ultra-hypersensitive Frank is nuking comments left and right. Wow, I'm actually not. I don't delete comments. There are people who are very supportive of the channel talk about how their comments disappear all the time. It's not my filters catching them. There's something going on with YouTube. I don't know what it is. I don't pretend to know what it is. But comments disappear all the time. It is not me. Watching the pleb moose sunshine baby is like watching a videos of baby animals. The minute you comment with hard truth, they immediately delete it because they are afraid of censorship. They can't handle the truth. I'm not going to say anything about the comments and observations about other influencers. I've talked about how other influencers are playing their own game. I'm not here to play a game. I'm here to tell you the truth. But there's a distinct possibility that they aren't nuking your comments. YouTube has an agenda all its own. I don't fully pretend to understand it. I'm happy I still have my platform here because there was a time when I couldn't say a lot of things, but the presence of X has actually liberalized some of these platforms so that you can actually speak again. And I would encourage people who are used to the censorship regime, just start talking again. You can talk. You'll be all right. And with that, I think the only thing left to do is wait for Trump's address of a joint session of Congress tonight to find out what exactly it is he says. And I wait with bated breath, just like you. If you like the truth, if you like honesty, if you like the work, please consider supporting it via the website. And I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.